Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. We there.
Always a blast filling in for Lawrence Holmes. I'm Mark Grody. Thank yous to Herb Howard, Bears beat writer for the Big Media. Also, Big Ant Anthony Herron joined us at 1 o'clock today. Tomorrow, yes, promise we'll talk more about the Chicago Bulls. Didn't have a whole lot of time for them today, but Cody Westerlund from 670thescore.com will join us at 12:25. And as always on the Lawrence Holmes Show on a Tuesday, Cam Ellis, also of 670thescore.com, will join us to talk more about the Chicago Bears. And it is now my pleasure to join the Parkins and Spiegel Show, already in progress right here on the Score.
Well, it's in progress now.
Now it is.
Now
it is.
And now we begin.
It really is your pleasure.
It is. Mark? Yeah, you're welcome.
It is. It is. I always get goosebumps being around you guys. I feel like I'm in the presence of radio magic every time.
Transition will not be enough. You're going to do a Bears report.
Exactly.
Later on today.
For what you heard from Matt Nagy while you were actually doing a radio show.
Right. No, I'm going to, after this, I'm going to go to the Starbucks in there and cut up a few more cuts of things that I didn't play that will be fresh for you guys for the Parkins and Spiegel Show, which will be well in progress by the time that I come back.
But I heard you have some sort of existential music discussion, crisis, whatever it was. And you said in your tease, I'll be joined by one person who loves music, Matt Spiegel, and one person who doesn't.
Right.
I don't dislike music. Oh. I know nothing about it.
Okay.
And almost never go out of my way to experience it. I enjoy it.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I used to say, and you didn't argue with this, that music has never moved you emotionally.
Yeah.
Which is...
So you hate music.
Which is a striking thing to admit to. Would you still admit to that, or do you remember a moment where you've been moved emotionally by music? I don't mean to tears. I mean, like, some music makes me want to rage. Some music makes me want to dance.
Yes.
Some music makes me want to, I feel the happy sads and I think about ennui and the difficulties of life.
I feel like in the Keanu Reeves vehicle, The Replacements, there's a good music. There's a good song that comes in there. 8 Mile. So,
you need a movie with it.
Yeah, Eye of the Tiger with Rocky, that's pretty good.
Okay, so you're incapable of filling in the blanks of visuals.
No, I need the visuals. I need it. Okay. Music videos are great. The band that played at our wedding was a great band, but they also had a projector screen as they played new songs, the music video played on them. I was like, this is my kind of music.
So you could actually feel something.
Yeah.
How did I end up spending 20 hours of my life with this guy?
I don't know.
Every week.
It's amazing. So this was the text. I was going back and forth. I'll explain the whole thing.
Imagine 24 hours a day living with myself.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Is your wife into music?
Fine. Yeah, she's fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But what's your existential crisis?
Yeah, so the crisis was, so here's the one of the text messages here. Step down, this is to me, step down from your entitled place of judgment where you disregard others based upon music gatekeeping. As you seem to think that you have the authority to separate real fans from fake fans.
Whoa!
So this came up because, I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but there is a style with, I would say, from about 13 years old to maybe 35 or something like that, where the kids are buying concert t-shirts from the 80s and 90s. Like, like you go to Target and you can get a Def Leppard or Bon Jovi or...
Those are bands.
Those are bands. Exactly. Yeah. AC/DC, okay, so Metallica. This
is not, it sounds like this is not as much a music issue as it is a quality of fan base issue.
Well,
a deserved fandom issue, which actually does cross over into sports quite a bit.
Nice. I can participate.
There we go. Ready? So
right? So like if you're the kids and you're wearing... go ahead.
Yeah.
You do it instead of me paraphrasing.
No. I want you to jump in, Spiegel, especially Spiegel. Yeah. Mr. Music over there, Danny Parkins.
It's like when Lawrence talks to Speaks about baseball.
But
I got a question for the two of you, but really I just want to hear what Speaks says. So Parkins, you can fill some airtime while I drink some water, but then we'll get Speaks' thoughts.
A lot of people are buying these concert t-shirts just because it's a style and there's an irony to it. And I know this because some of my friends' kids have purchased them and they have no idea what Metallica is,
sure,
or what Def Leppard is, or Bon Jovi. So they have admitted it. I've done the research. Where this gets ugly is when I go to like an old man concert like Pearl Jam, I love it when there's younger fans there. I look for the younger fans because that keeps the music progressing and interested.
And like, it keeps it alive.
Oh, I don't
resent
that.
And this should be your take on the t-shirts too. Because without the t-shirt, maybe that person or their friend might never listen to the one track they listen to because of that t-shirt.
Yes.
Like whatever way you get in, let them get in that way. If that's how the kids are going to get into a band that you love and you know it's ironic and they're just like co-opting the style, maybe then they'll hear a song and then it'll keep it alive that way. So don't begrudge them however you get in. It reminds me of like how we used to begrudge artists for placing songs in commercials. Now it's like, go for it,
yes,
please. How many times can you possibly do it?
Because usually there are fights within generations where one generation against the other. Like, I hate my dad's music. My nephews and nieces hate my music. So I love it. Like, if like a 17-year-old's like, oh, I love Nirvana.
Yeah, man.
Pearl Jam. I'm like, great.
I was just reading about this. I was reading a great Paul McCartney article by David Remnick in The New Yorker. And he was talking about how, like, how the entire British invasion is all turning 80. You know, they're all 80. And a lot of them are active and making music still and like out there and doing it. So we're dealing with, can you imagine like if you were like a Brahms fan and you're like,
no.
Well, Brahms is dead. You know, like, no, he's alive. He's still out there playing. Like we're in an interesting cultural time where like the music of 40, 50 years ago is still hip to people and relevant to some people. So let it be. It's good.
That's a Beatles song.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
I see what you did there.
Not intentionally, but I sure did.
60 Minutes yesterday. There's a new Peter Jackson is directing a documentary for the Beatles
right? That was the occasion of this article, is that,
okay,
like, that they were joyful and enjoying themselves while they were breaking up at age 27 after changing the world.
Yeah.
So the original documentary shows them like brooding and quiet, and that's not really how they were. So this is like going to be like 3 hours. There's a 3-hour cut, and it's them playing music, but also really enjoying each other, which is not something that Beatles fans were allowed to think for a lot of years.
Were they 27?
27.
When they broke up?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
27, 28.
Like, if you asked me, like, when did I would have said, oh, they're like 40 or something, but no, 30, 27.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think
they were like Buster Posey, getting out early?
Well, you asked Justin Fields last week about, like, what it's like to do the job that you're doing at 22.
Sure.
He's no Lennon. Or McCartney. I mean, they accomplished a lot by 27.
By 22?
Yeah,
but by 27, I mean, how old's Pat Mahomes? Is he 27?
26, I think.
Pat Mahomes, who threw for 400-plus and 5 touchdowns last night, he's done that 3 times.
26.
So if that's what we're talking about, is somebody who gets an opportunity and changes the game, and is that good? And what if Pat Mahomes next year said, you know what? I've done it enough.
Pulls an Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Going to go off and do something else.
That'd be sad.
Speaking of the 22-year-old Justin Fields, I love the last sentence of that interview you guys did with him where – it wasn't the last sentence, but maybe one of the last questions about saying that it's sooner than later –
it's over for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, man.
And the reason
he knows it's important.
And I know that it sounds like pandering that he's doing, and maybe that people think I am doing now, but you can't get players to say stuff like that anymore. And it wasn't like he was just throwing stuff out there for bulletin board material and saying the Packers suck at all. But players don't really care as much anymore. Or it takes a while. I would say on the minimum, let's just keep it Bears player, probably 4 or 5 years before they really care about the Packers rivalry, even though we, and I'm guilty of it, we hit them over the head with it. You know,
You know, you get the Packers again, and for the last 30 years or something, they've had the upper hand in that rivalry. So I don't know if what Rodgers said or anything like that motivated you. It certainly pissed off the city, but I know it's one game at a time. But is that something that motivates you going forward to maybe tilt that rivalry back in Chicago's favor?
Just know it'll be back on our side very soon, sooner than later for sure.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, Grody.
You didn't like it?
No, I loved it.
Oh.
Did I like it?
I like all my questions.
Come on. It was generated a headline. I asked the question.
Yeah.
No. I will tell you, though, I was thinking, like, I didn't know about the best point of entry into it. It was super late in the interview. It almost was like, oh, we're not going to get to it. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I don't know what I will remember from this conversation other than Justin Fields is super likable.
And his dog wears a coat.
And his dog wears a coat, of
what?
Course. Yeah, I know. The internet is angry.
So weird.
Sea was angry that day, my friend.
Wait, he's not, by the way, not weird because dogs wear coats. No. I just want to clear that up.
No. The internet's anger.
I don't want that on my record.
It's weird. Way to back away from the fire. No, but it was just like, you know, I'll try it, because we had talked to him about motivation and slights and being pissed about the embarrassing efforts that they had. The more I sat with that conversation, I just came away continually impressed by his poise. Because you're right. He did not say that for bulletin board material or to make a headline.
No,
he said it because it's how he feels.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's confident. He's confident.
He's absolutely confident, and it's starting to come out in all sorts of ways. Comes out on the field when he signals for a big first down after running the ball. Those kind of things, those kind of moments. But just like Olin Kreutz pointed out late in the show on Friday, that's another moment of like him kind of owning the team thing. We're going to turn that around. When Danny asked him earlier in the interview, are you motivated by slights? And you asked him for an example. I was kind of expecting to say, well, he could have said when Georgia decided they weren't going to use me and I had to go to Ohio State. He could have said when Trevor Lawrence was ahead of me then and he's still ahead of me now. Could have said those other teams have passed on me. Instead, he said, when our offense sucked earlier in the year,
embarrassed
as a team, we were embarrassed, and I know it was bad, and I'm holding on to that, and I like to prove people wrong. That's a teammate loves to hear that, and it didn't sound like something he chose to say to pander. It just was what came out of him in the conversation.
Yeah, and I'm so anxious to see what when the Bears play Game 17 in Minnesota and the season is over, I can't wait to see where he is. And I brought this up earlier with Anthony Herron. There's always the pie in the sky thing where it does click this year. We're probably not going to see like superstar Justin Fields this year. But what if we do? Like, what if that was the start of it? The Pittsburgh game. The
second half of the Pittsburgh
game. Yes. Like, what if it carries over? Mm-hmm. What if it does click?
And if Lazor and Nagy realize what they need to do just to give him a template, just set him up and let him do his thing.
Grody, that's why I was so adamant, bordering on belligerent, of like, we gotta start. We gotta see it. We gotta see what we have. You gotta do it as soon as possible. Because it doesn't guarantee direct upward trajectory with no dips towards superstardom. Justin Herbert was Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, and he's been good this year. But he hasn't been great. He's not in the MVP conversation. He's having a pretty good season. Mm-hmm. Now, he's having a season that historically for Bears fans we would kill for, because he's going to pass 30 touchdowns again, and he's going to pass 4,000 yards again, two things that's never happened in the history of the franchise. But, like, Herbert is not a top five quarterback in the game yet off of last year. He's had moments where he can't get into the end zone against Baltimore and they lose by 4 touchdowns. But they at least know that he's the dude. And so you're right. Like, what happens on Sunday against Baltimore? I don't know. But it's a hell of a lot more interesting than it was 2 months ago, even when Fields was starting.
For sure.
And because he didn't know what he was doing.
And here's the thing. The position, really difficult.
Really difficult. Like and really deep in the NFL.
Yes, but like even real good ones. We watched Pat Mahomes make some really bad plays for a few weeks. That time is done now. Last night, how about Derek Carr throwing the ball up high in the air under pressure, getting picked one time, should have been picked twice. Mm-hmm. Colt McCoy puts up a big week last week. Yesterday is throwing it across his body into the middle of the field, 30 yards down the field for an easy interception. Like, it's hard to consistently be good at this position. So, you know, it takes a lot of reps, a lot of times. Wanted to get going early, and here he is.
I hated saying something, too, that I said today, and I was like, really, this year for the Bears, unless we get that, you know, elite consistent play out of Justin Fields, which is not completely out of play, I already can't wait till day one of training camp next year, where it is Justin Fields' team. It's a different, like, hopefully you will have your offensive line configured. Who knows what's going to happen with Tevin Jenkins? I mean, there's a chance, even though he has been activated, he's practicing right now.
Clock starts today.
Yep.
That's like, a good sign that the clock starts.
100%. But it is, I think he'll play this year. I agree with Anthony Heron, but it's possible that he doesn't play at all this year because you don't want Tevin Jenkins to slow the progress of Justin Fields. He's already almost gotten killed in a couple of games because of the offense.
I know, but here's what I bet happens. I bet once they're eliminated from playoff conversation or they decide they're down enough that Jason Peters will sit down.
Which I think he'd be totally cool with, by the way.
Yeah, and Larry Borum will play left tackle because they feel good about him.
I think so.
And they'll put Tevin at right tackle with some help. Something like that.
Yeah.
Give him a chance to get out there, have him play the position he played in college instead of asking him to transition without a training camp.
Also, I mean, are we really worried about Justin Fields getting killed? He can get killed behind this offensive line. Right? We've seen it.
I don't want to see a repeat of the Cleveland game. And I feel like if you put in a guy and you're like, let's just see what Tevin Jenkins can do, that possibility would exist.
I assume that they would do, like, they learned from the Cleveland game.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, like, but Tevin Jenkins didn't play in the Cleveland game.
But you'd like to think.
But Jermaine Ifedi and Jason Peters had no help in the Cleveland game.
Did you see what the Patriots did to Myles Garrett yesterday?
What
the Patriots did. They had either Chip Help, my guy, or Max Protect.
Oh, you're two faves.
Love both those guys. Or they just double-teamed Myles Garrett every time. Literally every time. And they ran away from him. They attacked the flat over his head and passed him for screen passes and short wide receiver dump-offs and stuff.
He still got his 13th sack of the season.
He still did. But they helped.
I know.
It's Josh McDaniels. Hello. Maybe he watched that tape.
Look out
for
the Patriots. Or maybe
he's got a brain in the NFL.
Well, you know what's funny about that? Josh McDaniels probably should be a name that we say more for Bears head coach if they lose Matt Nagy.
Well, the Colts tried that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. He's right. I don't know if he has some sort of handshake agreement that when Bill Belichick retires, he is the next head coach of the Patriots, and that's why the Colts thing didn't work.
He also might enjoy it. He might enjoy just rolling the way he is.
He might. It's a good gig. You know,
it's a good gig, and he has tasted the high and low of the head coach gig.
Right, like being the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban is a good gig. He recruits all the best players in the country. He takes care of the defense, and then you get to just drive a Ferrari. It's a good gig being the offensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. But if he wants it again, was a head coach, would probably have learned from his failings, learned under Belichick, was around a bunch of quarterbacks, including Brady, but also some guys that are not Brady. He's probably a name that we should be mentioning more. He'd be very impressive.
Well, I wonder, like, just to take that to the general level, if Matt
Salute,
Nagy,
general level,
that was for you, Speaks.
Love that guy.
If Matt Nagy is gone after this year, would the Bears' job be one of those that everybody's raising their hand for because of Justin Fields? Because in the past,
very possibly,
it's not been the case. Sometimes they're like, oh my God, we got this guy in his last year. The Bears organization is going down the tube. But I wonder if there'd be a line at Halas Hall to be the next Bears coach.
It depends how the season finishes.
You think? Like record-wise?
No. Fields.
If
Fields looks awesome, they will be incredibly desirable. If he looks shaky, they will be as desirable as someone believes in Justin Fields, and it will matter on whether or not Ryan Pace is attached to the job.
It's a heritage franchise, man. It's a heritage franchise in a big city that is dying to love you. This city is desperate to love you.
Oh, but they'll turn on you hard.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Matt Nagy. Like, when Matt Nagy came into House Hall in 2018, the world, we'll just use Parkins here as a microcosm of that. Nobody loved Matt Nagy more than Danny Parkins.
That's right.
And now Danny Parkins has turned on Matt Nagy. Correct?
But I will say, and I was going down with the ship. Like,
yeah, you were.
I was still advocating and saying, listen, I want to see this guy with the quarterback at the end of last season when like 90% of people were done. I turned on him when I disagreed with how he handled Justin Fields. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
You finally have your guy, and then you're going to, you know, he learned because of an Andy Dalton injury.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, like, he wanted to do the Mahomes and Alex Smith thing.
But Grody, I still am open to the possibility that this is going to work out for Matt Nagy.
It could. I mean, if he progresses, then you don't want to tear off all those play sheets and bring in a new coordinator and a new head coach.
But right? I don't even love that logic because I think that Justin Fields might be system proof. If he's so good,
true,
he could be system proof, and then you go out and get the best coach who could do it without Justin Fields, and you want to pair him up with the hottest coaching commodity out there. But I'm not convinced that that's how the McCaskies will do it. And if Fields looks like he's QB of the future for the next 10 years, and Matt Nagy could be like, wait a minute, I've never had a losing season, and I just found your quarterback of the future, and now you're going to fire me? Like, he'll have a compelling case to stay.
And they like him. I mean, that counts for something. They love pace. They love Nagy. They don't want to get rid. They are looking for reasons to keep Matt Nagy.
Well, and he's got opportunities. Like, mm-hmm. Fields has opportunities the second half of the year not to give you just the moral victories that we celebrate with moral victory chicken. Like, you know,
eggplant is moral.
So it's not meat.
It's eggplant.
That's hilarious.
All I needed was Grody. That's who I needed to laugh at.
That is what
I
it was.
I had no idea.
You just needed Grody.
Thank what? God.
You tried
here.
That joke once or something?
Three times.
Like six times.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 6 and 12.
I think you're awfully funny, Matt. You're an awfully funny guy.
But I mean, he could beat Rodgers, he could beat Kyler, he could beat Lamar. Like they have big games in the second half of the schedule for all of a sudden them to point to and be like, look at what we did.
Yeah,
should have beat the Steelers.
Well, look, we're looking for reasons to let you go, Mark Grody.
Hilarious.
That was good.
That was terrible.
You actually had me there for a second. Yeah. I was like, damn.
All right.
Get out of here, Mark Grody.
This is really just my break. I'm going to go take my break,
yeah,
and then I'll be back with you guys at
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
With hot Matt Nagy
action. I got
action.
Some hot Matt Nagy for you today.
Including some of the ref business, one would assume.
I will bring the ref business. I'll bring you some stuff about what he says about where would Tevin Jenkins fit in
and
a whole lot more. So I will see you guys then.
That's a great tease. Can we just record that and play that in like an hour and 50
minutes?
Yeah,
3:55. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's cool with me, man. I can go home.
That'd be perfect. Do you want to come on earlier?
No. Actually, I'm going to go work out in the other building.
Oh, okay.
This is perfect, actually. I've planned my day. It is god-awful looking out. It is literally getting darker by the second.
You don't want to go outside.
I don't want to go outside. So
that's how it works.
What?
As the sun begins to set, it gets darker by
It's 2:21.
Not this early. It's not supposed to happen this early.
Yeah.
We're not tilting on the axis that quickly.
It's getting dark pretty
you
early.
You know what I meant, Parco.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.